folks, will be in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 as we get ready to head into our revival week. And I'm just praying that, of course, that the Lord would just bless it and move in it, and that we just see God do some tremendous things. I tell you, in our revival we had in April, we still can't get that out of our hearts and minds. And God was so good, and all the folks that got saved, and just how God moved and blessed, and all the tears that was shed, and all the people at the altar, and just how good it was. And instead of going 1 week, we went two. And the Lord done some things here that we had never seen happen before. And it was just... that was just amazing and just very good to see. And we're looking for God to do something great again. We know that our God can do all things, and we're looking for even greater and better things. But as we look in our text here this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, let's read the text. The title of my message today is The Ways of Revival. And we're going to see really four things there in verse 14 that the Lord mentions, because we see that this revival here was conditional. And we're going to see four things the Lord mentioned there. And after he mentioned those four things, we do those things. In verse 15, such a blessing that I received out of the next couple of verses. Sometimes those two verses are kind of missed out whenever it's, this revival is being preached on. But notice what he says in verse 15. He says, "Now mine eyes shall be open," talking about the Lord, "my eyes will be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." I tell you what a blessing that is when we think about praying for revival, when we think about the goodness of God, and just getting our hearts right with the Lord. And when we make God's business our business, he makes our business his business. And when we do those things, and we can see that God has a desire to move in our midst. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you, there in James chapter 4, verse 8. And so as we draw nigh to the Lord, we're going to see, and we do some things in our life, and we see that God is understanding that we're serious about this new direction and this change we want to do in our life. And God, we see that we show God that we're serious, and we get down to business with him. And he says there in verse 15, in essence, when we do these things, he says, "Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place." I don't know about you, but I like the idea of knowing that my prayers are being heard, my prayers are being answered. And I like the idea of knowing that whenever we're lifting up our prayers, I know we can, whatever place it could be here, we're talking about in the temple here, we'll just use the church for instance for that this morning. But I like the idea of knowing that whenever we come together as God's people and we're lifting up our voice to the Lord in this place, that God is, that his eyes are open to what's happening in this place, that his ears are opening to what's happening in this place. And whenever our prayers are being lifted up to him, that he is, that his ears are attentive to the prayers that are coming out of the house of God. And so that's why we just are so avid in prayer. Want to make sure that we continue to be a people in prayer, and that we show God that we are serious about our prayer lives. We're serious about that which he calls us to do in our life, and serious about that which we need to be for him in our life. And as we look around society today, we can definitely see that this world needs doesn't need a play-acting Christianity. It doesn't need a Christianity that is just we practice today and is forgotten tomorrow. But a Christian life that is desiring to live today, and not just today, but tomorrow, the next day, and the day after that. Not just a Christian life that we just come in on Sunday and say, "Yes, we praise the Lord, we raise our hands and get our Bibles out, and then Monday through Saturday we forget about who God is," but a Christian life that is desiring to walk with God every single day of the week. And so here in these few verses here we're going to look at this morning, actually, if you was to begin there in chapter 7, you're going to see that Solomon began to pray, and he began to pray about a number of different things. And of course, God began to speak, and he tells him in verse 14, now he says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," then, that's the conditional part, "then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And then a part of that is when he says in verse 15, "Now mine eyes shall be open, my ears shall be unto thy prayer that is made, attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." So when we do these things, those four things, we see that God's ears and his eyes will be open and attentive to the prayers that are made in this place. Verse 16, he says, "For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name shall be there forever. Man, praise the Lord for that. As we begin there in verse 14, look at verse 1. We see the big if there. Now he says, if my people. Now we're not talking about the world, but see, listen, if we count on the world to bring revival, we're going to be waiting on it for a long time. Amen. Listen, what's going to happen is the Bible says, if my people, which means those that are saved, those that are living for God, those that have decided to make a decision to walk with the Lord, if my people, the Christians there, if my people, here the nation of Israel, but it says, if my people, which are called by my name. Well, you know, I find it interesting there in verse 14 too, that we see that our identity has changed. We're no longer we no longer belong to ourselves, we belong to Him. That makes sense. He says, if my people, listen, when I got saved, I was bought. Amen. I was bought with a price. And the price was the blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And so I no longer belong to myself, but I belong to Him. And so I no longer just identify as just Brian anymore of my own self. But listen, not only do I have a creator, but I have a savior, one that has purchased me, one that has bought me. He is my master. And so I now belong to Him. And so there in verse 14, he says, if my people, because we belong to Him, which are called by my name. And so I reference to Him. He is my savior, my all in all. But there in verse 14, he says, if my people, which are called by my name. And so we can see that word if there shows us that this revival, this that God wants to do, this what God desires to do in their land, he says, listen, if my people, so we see first and foremost, it is decisional. It is a decision that we have to make. There in verse 14, the very first word, if my people. So we can see that revival is not only is it a conditional thing, a decisional part, a decision to change the way we're going, the direction that we're taking in life. Now, the nation of Israel, they've been sinned against God and set up all kinds of false gods and sacrificing their kids to all these false gods and doing all these tremendous evil, wicked things. Now, and so when they begin to get their heart right with God, God tells him, he says, listen, if you do these things, then my ear will be attentive unto your prayer, and my heart will be in this place, and this will be a place and be called by my name forever. And so there in verse 14, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And so we can see that this revival here, that which God desires to do and work in their life and in their land and in their nation, that is not only conditional, but is decisional. I think it's important that each and every single one of us today understand that we have a decision to make. Am I going to continue to go, I'm going to live for God, or am I going to continue to go in my own direction? Am I going to wake up in the morning and say, well, you know what, I want to live my life with my own agenda. I'm going to walk to the beat of my own drum, and this is what I'm going to do. Listen, you can do that, and God's not going to necessarily stop you from doing that. But I can tell you that the Bible says the way of transgressors is hard, and that if you start to live like the devil, you have an idea, this idea that you want to go out there and live like the world and live like the devil, listen, it's going to be that much more harder on you than just living the Christian life. And listen, living the Christian life is difficult at times. Yes. Amen. Hey, listen, just because you're saved on your way to heaven don't mean everything's going to be hunky-dory all the time. Don't mean that you're just going to live a life with no trouble and all that stuff. Listen, that we understand that living the Christian life, even in and of itself, can be difficult at times. But listen, if you have a desire to forsake God and go out here and live in this old wicked, sinful world, it's going to be doubly that much more difficult for you, because the way of transgressors is hard. And so we understand here, we see that this revival, it is decisional. We can see that it is conditional, and it is also, if you want to consider that, even optional. Do I desire to have a revival in my life? Do I desire to have revival in my home? Do I desire to have revival in my spirit? Do I desire to have revival in my church? Do I desire to have revival in my community? Do I desire to have it in my nation? And there in verse 14, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And so we see that revival here is decisional and it is conditional. You have to decide for yourself. You have to say, you know what? Do I want my life to change? Do I want my life to be different? Am I tired of living the same way I'm living? Am I tired of waking up the same day to the same thing
a decision today to have your life change, to have your life be different. And listen, I'm not talking about going to the bookstore and picking off some self-help book off the bookshelf. Listen, I'm not saying that that's not necessarily a bad thing, that it won't help you out, to influence you in a positive way. But if you want your life to really change, you want to really be different, then listen, you pick up that Bible right there, you get into the Word of God, you let God change your heart, let God change your mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and let God move in you, let God change you, let God work in you. And the Bible says in verse 14, if my people. So when we decide here this morning, when we decide that we want things to change, when we decide we want things to be different, and we show God that we're serious about our family getting right with Him, that we show God we're serious about our church doing all that we can to serve Him and press forward and march for Christ, when we show God that we are serious about these things, the Bible says in the middle part of verse 14, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We want to see God do amazing things. We want to see God do tremendous things. But it is optional. It is conditional. The Bible says, and it is decisional. The Bible shows us there in verse 14, if my people which are called by my name. Hey, we talk about it all the time, but man, praise the Lord, the prodigal son, man, he got away from his father. And he was down there in the pig pen, really thought he was going to live life, thought that was how things needed to go. But he got down there, and the Bible says that he came to his senses. That he came to his senses. I tell you what, there's lots of Christians today just backslid, got away from God, just need to come back to their senses. Amen. I know here, in essence, we're talking about a lost man, but listen, even Christians that have backslid from God, that they need to come back, need to come to their senses and come back to God and see that that's ask God to save them from. That was to ask God to save them from and deliver them from. It's still worthy to come and serve the Lord because of what God has done for us. Listen, let us never forget about what God has brought us out of. Yes. Let us never forget what God has brought us out of, where we were at, and when the Lord Jesus found us, when the Lord Jesus came to us. Let us never forget where we were. The Bible says in verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. And so we can see that revival here, it is decisional. Am I going to make a decision today to follow God? Am I going to make a decision today to live for Him? Am I going to make a decision today to serve Him? If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. That brings us to the next thing. Not only do we see that this revival is decisional, but we also can see that it involves humility. Involves humility. Notice he says in verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Listen, there's a lot of people walking around in the world today beating on their chest and thinking of something. Amen. Lots of people walking around in the world today beating on their chest and thinking that there's something. Well, I don't need God. I'm good enough on my own. I don't need God. I'm a good enough person. I don't need God. I've given this. I've done that. I don't need God. I have this position, you know, and I'm a CEO or I have this or whatever it could be. I don't need God. But I can tell you this. On the day of judgment, we're going to see how much they really need God. But listen, it happened before that. Listen, I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people today that are walking around with a puffed out chest and they're sitting on this they're sitting on this throne of pride, and they think they don't need God because they have everything that they need, and they think they don't need God because they're good enough without Him. You know, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3, shows us there in the Laodicean period. That at the end of the church age, we can almost, in essence, almost kind of see a picture of the Lord Jesus sitting outside, knocking on the door, wanting to get in, because the church itself in the last days feels like that it's just gotten to the point that it don't need God anymore. Well, we'll sing songs that sing about Him. And we'll sing songs that sing about Him. We'll preach, we'll listen to all these things. But all of us for themselves. And Jesus, in essence, sitting outside the door, knocking to get in, wanting to invite Himself into their life. Listen, I'm telling you today, we need to make sure that we are a people that is understanding of who we are, what we need in our life. And the Bible says in verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And so we can see that revival can be decisional, it can be optional, it can be conditional. But we also see that revival involves the humility. They shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I was listening to a man the other day. He was he was preaching, and he got mad. He got upset about something. In the midst of his preaching, he got mad. He got upset about something, and he said, "Listen, I'm going to tell you something." He says, "Don't you do this because I am somebody. I'm important." And I get understand where he comes from. Listen, we're all important. Understand? We are all somebody. But I just thought to myself, wow, how? I guess that place of confidence. I thought maybe what we could set ourselves. But it's so important that we understand. Listen, we all need God. We all need to understand that we were lost in sin. We all need to understand that we all need help. How many of you need some help this morning? How many of you are work in progress?
Man, we all are today, and we understand where we all are. He says, listen, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Listen, we have a humble heart before God, and we say, listen, God, I know I'm not what I ought to be, but Lord, I'm getting down on my knees today. God, I'm praying that you would just help me today to be that which I need to be in my life. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before an almighty God. Don't walk around with such a stuck out chest thinking that I don't need God, we don't need this, and don't need him for that, and you know, we got enough money, we got enough this, humble yourselves before an almighty God. So we can see that revival was decisional, conditional, and optional. We also see that it involves humility, having a humble heart before God. Listen, there'll be nobody walking around in heaven saying, I got here because of something that I did. There'll be nobody walking around in heaven saying, I got here because I was good enough, or I got here because I had enough money, or I got here because I had enough fame, and then all this different kind of stuff. No, everybody that's going to be in heaven is only going to be there because they put their faith and trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only reason why that anybody will go to heaven, is because of what Christ has done. We have to humble ourselves before an almighty God. Humble themselves. Not only are we going to humble ourselves, but the Bible also shows us that we need to pray. Humble themselves and pray. We're talking about prayer in our discipleship class back here in the back. Man, being a people of prayer, we're going to be talking about prayer tonight. Being a people of prayer. People of prayer. We've said this many times, but our church has had the blessing of experiencing revival within our midst over the last several years. And just the things that God has done and how he's just worked. And it's just been amazing. Talk about the revival we had in April, but we continue to look forward to what God's going to continue to do in the next months and years to come. We think about the salvations, the people that's been saved. We think about all these things. But when we see right here, there in the text, and he says in verse 14 that we need to be a people of prayer. Be a people of prayer. One of the things that has, I think, benefited this church so well is that we have people that have a desire to pray. People have a desire to pray. Not only do they want to just serve God because they love God, and they have humbled themselves, not so they can just put themselves out in front of everybody and just say, well, hey, look what I did and all that. No, they serve God because they love the Lord and because they understand that maybe this is a service that God has called them to do, and they're a people of prayer. Amen. Listen, our church, I have been so blessed to witness and see so many people in our church that are a people of prayer. He says there in verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. And that's why we get together on Sunday nights, 5:45. We get together and we pray for revival. That's why, listen, and other people go home and they do other different things throughout the week. We have a special prayer time while I'm preaching in the morning. Folks are in a room right up here, back in it, right over here off to the side. And right this moment, right now, they are sitting there and they are praying for souls to be saved. They're praying as I'm preaching. And there's a rotation schedule. Everybody, different people go back there and they pray all the time. And they just pray during the service. They pray for me as I'm preaching. They pray for liberty. They pray for our safety. They pray for other churches around us. They just pray for revival in general. They pray for the lost. And listen, right now, this very moment, there are people that are in the throne room of God that are praying for all of y'all. And praying for folks that have come in this morning that you have no idea. There's somebody back there praying for you right now, but they're praying for folks when they come in. They don't even know who you are. They've never seen you, but God put folks that have come in today and they're visiting. Lord, we just pray for them, God, that you bless them. Listen, right this moment, there are people praying for you. Man, what a blessing it is to know that we are a people of prayer. But listen, we need to make sure that we are continually a people of prayer. There in verse 14, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And pray. Listen, prayer, one of the greatest tools that as a Christian that we have, but is oftentimes one of the most overlooked and forsaken weapons that we have at our disposal. And I'm not saying prayer is easy, because prayer isn't always easy. You ever had a hard time praying before? I tell you what, when you bow on your knees and you try to come into the throne room of God, the devil does everything he can to try to keep you out of it. I mean, this. How many of you have been got on your knees, man, or maybe you're driving down the road, or you was at work or at home and in your quiet place, and there you was trying to pray to God, and as you was trying to pray, the next thing you know, you found yourself way out in left field somewhere, and you thought to yourself, how in the world did I ever get out here? Or there's always a disturbance, or something happens, or you're always cut short. Listen, I'm telling you, sometimes prayer can be a very difficult thing. Sometimes it is a battle, but I'm telling you, there in verse 14, the Bible says that we need to be a praying people. Because when we pray, what are we doing? We're getting into the throne room of God. We're showing God that we're serious. Showing God that we're serious about that which we're seeking, that which we're talking about. We are having fellowship with God. How can we have fellowship with God if we're not in constant prayer? The Bible says in verse 14, they shall humble themselves and pray. And the next thing you know, it's not just about humility, not about just about living a life of prayer, which is what every Christian ought to do, but it's about seeking Him. He says in verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Listen, there's so many people out here today that are looking for so much. They're looking for that which is going to give them happiness, not knowing that God. They're out here looking for some kind of temporary something that the happiness is just based on the happenings that are around them. They're out here thinking, well, I just want to be happy. Listen, I get it. I hear you cry loud and clear. But listen, seek more than just happiness. Won't you seek the joy of God? Because the happiness is determined on the things that's happening around you. Seek the joy of God. That which God can give you in your heart. That in the midst of the chaos, there could be a calmness on the inside. Amen? And so listen, seek the joy of the Lord. But there's lots of people in this world that are seeking so much, seeking so many things out here. When the Bible shows us here in verse 14, seek my face. Seek my face. I tell you what, the devil's got so many people distracted, looking, trying to chase so many different things out here. And it seems like every time we turn around, the devil's got something else for somebody to chase. The devil's got something else for somebody to use to distract somebody and get them away from God. The Bible says to seek my face. Seek my face. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There will your heart be also. So we ask ourselves today, where is my treasure? What do I consider my treasures? My treasure, the kingdom that I feel like I can build out there, is my treasure. Is my treasure valued out here in this world? Is that what I consider my treasure? That stuff out there? Or do I consider my treasure? Do I consider treasure souls that can be saved? Do I consider treasure crowns that I can lay before the Master's feet one of these days? What is it that I consider treasure in my life? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Bible says in verse 14, to seek my face. So we have to ask ourselves this morning, okay, if the revival is conditional and optional, and if it's what I desire, then what am I doing? Am I seeking His face? What am I looking for today? What am I seeking after? What am I chasing today? What am I chasing today? Am I chasing after the world? You have to examine yourselves. Pry yourself apart. That's what examining means. Pry yourself apart. You examine your own self. You say, okay, what am I doing? What am I doing? And you look at yourself and you say, where am I going? What am I doing? Where am I headed? And you examine yourself this morning. You ask yourself a series of questions. I guarantee you, you'll find a whole lot more about yourself than you probably ever thought you ever would. But you ask yourself today, what am I doing? Where am I headed? What's going on in my life? And there we can see in the text in verse 14, he says, seek my face. Seek my face. Seek my face, and then he says, turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. So we can see a series of repentance there. Four things he said to do. He said, humble yourself, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. God's desire was for these folks to turn away from the wicked ways. His desire for them was to turn away from the practices that they had been practicing in their life, to turn away from the wicked ways that they had been going, to no longer seek the world, but to seek the face of God, to no longer follow the world and the ideology of the world, but to follow the Lord, to humble themselves in the sight of God instead of promoting and prouding themselves in the sight of men. And he says, turn from your wicked ways. Now, if we turn from the wicked ways, what does that mean we're going to do? That means we're going to forsake it and walk away from it, right? Now, if we're going to turn from our wicked ways, in other words, we're going to say, you know what? This is the life I was living. I'm going to turn away from that. I'm not going to live this way anymore. That is kind of what repentance is. Is to you're going in this direction, you do a 180, you turn around, and you say, all right, I'm going to forsake all of that. I'm going to repent of that. God, I don't want to do that anymore. This is the life now I want to live. And now I'm going to walk in this direction, and I'm going to forsake all that and leave it behind. So I'm going to repent of it, ask God's forgiveness, turn from my sin, and now follow God. And the Bible says in verse 14 to turn from their wicked ways. Turn from the wicked ways. It seems like to me that some of the reasons why we don't see some of the revivals maybe that we would like to see is because we are just a proud people, because we are prayerless people, because we are a people that's not seeking the face of God, because we're more interested in what the world has to offer than we do the Lord. And we are a people that will not forsake and turn away from our sins.
Then I will hear from heaven, and then I will hear your land, and then my ear will be attentive unto your prayer in this house. I don't know about you, but I like the idea of whenever we pray,
then God is listening to our voice, that God is hearing our prayers. There in verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. A change of direction is what we need this morning. Listen, there could be some folks here today that just need a change of direction in their life. I'm going this way. I've been traveling down this road. And as I've been traveling down this road, preacher, I'm tired of going in this direction. I'm tired of going this way. And I just need a change in my life. And I want to serve God. And I want to spend time with the Lord. I want to be what God wants me to be. Then I'm telling you, praise God for that. I guarantee if you lift up your hand today, I've been having throat problems. Just overlook me. All right. I think I'm okay now. But if that's what you desire today, then understand that there is a God in heaven. You lift up your hand and you'll see that He loves you. And he desires so much so to change your life. And that no matter where you are, and that no matter where you're at, that there is a God in heaven that will forgive you and cleanse you of your sin. No matter how much you've done, no matter where you've been. One of the greatest verses that I like reading the scripture is, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And when we trust God and we give Him all that we have, and we come to God in forgiveness, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, that if we confess our sin, that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I'm telling you this morning, all of us at times, we get into this place to where we wonder why God still desires to spend time with us. God, why do you still spend time with me? God, why do you still desire to help me? God, why do you still desire to give me grace and mercy and long-suffering? Because of His great love that He has towards us. And God sent His Son into this world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And it is God's desire for you this morning that you would trust Him, that you would give Him your life, and that you'd give Him your heart. And if you're here today and you've never done such a thing, I encourage you to know that the Lord Jesus today is the greatest person you'll ever know and ever meet in your life. And we've met a lot of great people out maybe perhaps in this world, but there is not one person that you'll ever meet aside from Christ that'll change your life the way He can. And this morning here in our text, the Bible says that my people which are called by my name. Understand this morning that revival in your life, revival in our church, revival in our communities, and revival in our nation, it is conditional and it is optional. If we seek His face and we call out to Him and we show God, God, we are serious about our life being changed. We're serious about the direction that we're going, and we want to change it and go in a different direction. And we come before God, and we humble ourselves before Him and acknowledge that we can't do it without Him. And we acknowledge that, Lord, it is only because of You and only by You that we can be empowered and that we can go in the direction that You need us to go. And we pray and we seek His face and we turn from our wicked ways. And we put all these things together. We set ourselves up for in a perfect position for God to tell us there in verse 15, "Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." I covet the idea of knowing that God hears the prayers that are lifted out of this room. I covet the idea that God hears the prayers that are lifted from our hearts today, and we pray for revival, we pray for souls to be saved, and we pray for our community. We pray for these things, and I earnestly believe with all of my heart, and we are genuine in our soul about it. I earnestly believe with all my heart that God will hear our voice from heaven, and God will move in our land. I'm thankful for what I've seen God do here at this church. I'm thankful for the souls that have been saved. I'm thankful for how good God's been. Let's pray this morning. Father, we come to You today. We thank You for Your blessings. Lord, I pray that You'd help us this morning. Lord, as we bow before You, and we understand, God, that there's nothing that we can do without You. For You said in Your word, "Without Me, you can do nothing." So in the midst of everything we do, our service, our prayer study, our life in general, Lord, help it to be centered around You. As the piano plays this morning, maybe you're sitting out here today, you're saying to yourself, "I've never accepted Christ as my Savior, but I sure would like to. I've been going in my own direction, I've been living my own life. But now there's a God in heaven that I know who has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for me, that has freely and willingly offered me a plan of salvation to forgive me of all of my sins, give me a home in heaven, and help me to live for Him." If that speaks of you here today, you never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, but you sure would like to, or you'd like to know more about this Jesus that we spoke about today, would you just slip your hand up so I can see you? Anybody like that here this morning? Could be that you're here today and you just want to make sure that you are a person that fits this kind of life, that you remain humble, that you be a person of prayer, that you constantly seek His face and be a person that has a desire to live for God, forsake the world and forsake sin, and to follow Him. And I believe with all my heart that if we'll be mindful of this text and many others, we'll be mindful of this and we follow Him. With a sincere heart, I believe that God will hear our voice from heaven and will forgive our sins and heal our land and do things amongst us which maybe we've never seen before. Families that have been broken and torn apart, they come back together. Husbands and wives who maybe have been at odds, and families that have been broken, that they come back together. Churches and communities that have been ravaged by sin, that God would heal them, bring it back. We pray this morning that God would set our hearts on fire for Him. Help us to see that there's a lost and dying world out here that needs Christ. As we stand to our feet and we open up the altar this morning, whatever it may be that you need to pray about, I encourage you to come. God speak to your heart. If it's about salvation, you make sure you come up here and you say, "Preacher, I want to know more about the Lord. I want to know how to get saved today." And we'll have somebody take a Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can get saved this morning. I encourage you to come. Could be that you're just facing some difficult times in your life, decisions that need to be made, asking the wisdom of God. Whatever it could be, I encourage you to come. The altar this morning, lots of people here today. Spend some time with the Lord. The Bible says, "Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Don't matter how small you may think it is, or how small someone else may think it is, I believe if it means something to you, it means something to God. Let Him move in your life today. Maybe it's strength that you need. Saying, "God, I need strength in these days. God, I'm desiring peace and comfort. I'm so much that I'm looking for." Well, if you've come to the Lord, you come to the right place. He is our shield. He is our buckler, our high tower, our pavilion, our refuge, our present help in time of trouble. Whatever it is, whatever it is, God can work on it. God can heal it. God can fix it. God can move it. Our Bible tells us that our God, there's nothing impossible with Him. Don't ever limit God in your life and put Him in a box. But understand that we serve a God that can do all things. Lord knows the needs and desires of our heart. Let us make sure we bring it to Him. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for being here this morning. I do apologize once again with my throat. Most of you know I've been battling with it for weeks now. I get to a certain place sometimes in my preaching. It don't hit me all the time, but sometimes I get to a certain place in my preaching in my voice, and then it just wants to cut out on me. But I do apologize for that. But thank you for being here this morning, and I do pray that the Lord blesses your day, and I look forward to tonight, and I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do for us this evening. Pray for the revival. If you're not able to be here, I pray that you are able to be here during the revival, but if you're not, please pray for us. Amen. All right, let's be dismissed today. And let's see, Brother Tommy, would you pray for us today?